I don't have a great track record. Yeah, I mean, literally, you're going to fly to Arkansas first class to tell him to pay the fine. I mean, that's, you're just,
well, yeah, I'm pleading guilty. Like, so I don't guess.
It would be hard for you. It would be hard for you not to plead guilty because you've talked about it on three fucking podcasts. So it's just, well, like,
I literally, I don't know if you guys know this about me.
What?
But I was a claims adjuster.
Yeah.
Claims adjuster. I know who was at fault in this accident. I, like, that's what I did, is, you know.
I just
evaluated,
remember,
claims.
I just remember the accident that we had at Disney where we got crunched. We got, you know, a SUV pulled over to the side, and we thought that they had pulled over to the side of the road, right? And so we kept going, and it turns out, no, they pulled over to the side of the road because they were going to make a big honking U-turn with no signals on or whatever. And so they pull out right in front of us, and I'm honking, you know, I'm laying on the horn and slamming on the brakes at the same time, but I'm right next to a median, so I can't move. Like, there's nowhere for me to go.
So wait, somebody was in front of you. They pulled off the road.
Someone was like five car lengths in front of me, and they pulled over to the side of the, into the grass on the side of the road. This is a two-lane road. We're traveling behind them. So I kept going forward. I thought they pulled over to the, that is not an uncommon thing to happen for people to pull off the road. Mm-hmm. So I kept going. But they, without signaling, then just started to make a wide U-turn. And I was going 30 miles an hour, closing in on that, and, you know, basically had to slam it. But the road had just come from a merge, and so there was a median, a concrete median next to me. So I couldn't move to the left. I couldn't get out of their way. Like, I was.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
So they.
Where did you hit them?
I didn't. They hit me.
Oh, they hit you.
She kept U-turning and hit me. I stopped, and she kept U-turning and hit me, but I was up against that concrete barrier. So, you know, she crunched the front of my car. So, and it was an accident, whatever. So we waited for the cops.
So she was at fault.
She was, and I thought pretty undeniably so, but we called the cops and because we were backing up traffic, and the cars could move, they wanted us to move the cars off the road. So,
but if there was a median, what was she U-turning onto? Because she was U-turning into oncoming traffic.
It was at the end of the median. Like, just the median was just there, and then it went to a two-lane road. She was doing, because she was going to go back the other way. It was like there was a merge coming into this, and there's there's just a divider between the two lanes so that the merging traffic doesn't go into the oncoming traffic, right? So it's just a curb, basically. It's just a curb. But
was it the front of her car that hit your car, or was it the side of her car?
The driver's side hit the front of my passenger side front as she was turning. She was U-turning into me. She U-turned into me. Okay. So, anyway, before we moved our vehicles, I thankfully pulled out my phone and took all kinds of pictures and video of where things were.
Yeah.
And then, we backed our car away. They had to pry the car off, as it made that sickening metal noise or whatever. Anyway, so we got our cars off the road and waited for the cops to show up. The cops showed up, and we explained it all. And I showed the pictures or whatever. And... Then I didn't show that. He just asked what happened. I told him what happened, and he went and talked to her, and then he talked to her for a while, and he came back to me, and he's just like, all right, so what's your side? You know, tell me exactly what happened. And I told him, and he's like, oh, she's telling a very different story. And I'm like, oh, really? And it's like, she's saying that you were trying to pass her on the right. And on the left, you're trying to pass her and then cut her off. Like you crunched into her, like you pulled back into her lane as you're trying to pass her. And I'm like, oh, I have some photos to show you. And so I showed him the photos of where everything was. And I'm like, so I couldn't have been passing her on the left because I'm here at the median. It's like there, I would have been on the other side of the median if I was trying to pass her. He admitted at that point, he's like, I've seen enough car accidents to know the difference between a crash.
By YouTube people.
I know the difference between a crash damage and crunching damage, and your car is definitely crunched, meaning that she was turning into you. So it's like, the evidence supports your story as well as these pictures and everything. So, you know, you're all good. And so I was deemed as not at fault. She was deemed at fault.
By the
cop.
Police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, cool, there you go. So I call, my insurance company calls whatever afterwards and goes, they're contesting this. And so, we just want to get your side of it and everything. And so I told her, you know, it's like, I shared all this with the cop. Here, I have the photos. It's like, you know, the cop even agreed with me. He wrote it on the ticket. It's just like, you know,
it doesn't matter what the police say.
I understand that. But at the same time. Yeah. It's one of those, like, look, here's the exact same evidence that this really should be an open and shut case because the story she's telling is not possible based off these photos. So it took like another like 6 weeks or whatever before they finally sent me back my, my deductible or whatever because they had sued or whatever. So it was just one of those things like, are you kidding me?
So they went to... Oh, I forgot the word for that. There's a word for it.
Adjudication. Subrogation. Yeah, adjudication.
Subrogation. Oh, okay. Is it subrogation?
I don't know.
What is? I think it's called subrogation.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
That's what she should have said. She should have said, I'm a cop. But the thing that was so weird.
It is. It's when one party steps into the legal shoes of another to recover money they paid on their behalf. So your insurance company paid a claim. Well, they fixed your vehicle. And then they went back to her insurance company and said, hey, you owe us.
Yeah.
Because we fixed his vehicle.
Right. And because she was deemed at fault. And so we were suing them for the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing that just shocked me the most is she seemed like a nice old lady. Like when we were back in the cars away from each other and we were exchanging information and everything, she seemed like a nice old lady. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, it's like, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, now I hear like, oh, I don't know. He came out of nowhere and he ran me up. And it's just like, you lying cunt. It's just like, it's not even a case of like, oh, I can prove that this didn't happen because, you know, photo evidence could be, but it's like, I lived this. I know for a fact that she's just lying and that just feels weird. You know what I'm saying? It just feels weird that another adult is literally talking, you know, lying about something that you went through and you're just like, no, that's not what happened. It's just like.
The hard one to explain as a claims adjuster to anyone is the person who rear ends the other person is always at fault.
Yeah. Even if they back into you. Yes.
It doesn't matter. But that's hard to prove.
Unless you have a dash cam, right? So that's the whole dash cam industry's line is like, because there are people out there who will brake check you. They'll pull in front of you in busy traffic and slam on brakes so that you hit them and then they all jump out of the car.
But you're at fault.
Right, exactly. And it's an insurance scam, right? And so like if you have the dash cam, that prevents that because you can see them put their car in reverse and run into you, right? And so
it's weird though, because if they do that fast on purpose, you can't stop. But the reason, and it depends on the state. The states that I was licensed in, if you're 51% at fault, you're 100% at fault.
Yeah.
So some states will divide up the fault and they will actually say, well, because that person was doing X, they owe 20% or whatever.
Yeah, but a car in front of you putting its reverse lights on is clearly at fault. Yeah. Like they backed into you. If you have a dash cam footage of that car pulling in front of you, putting on its reverse lights, and then ramming into you, and then jumping out of the car and going,
but other than
hit me, you hit me.
Yeah. But other than that.
Unless it's a cop.
Other than that, if they stop.
Or an ICE agent.
Because you're following too closely. If someone has to slam on their brakes and you hit them, you're following them too closely.
Right.
Now, it's interesting. I've never done a pileup where there were multiple.
Yeah.
But I would assume that each one is responsible for the one they hit. But it's interesting because you could, like, the first one could hit and they could get hit and it could bump them into the other car and cause more damage.
Yeah. So you always sue the car. So, yeah, there's, so the car so at the very back is responsible.
Probably for the insurance companies fight with each other and maybe they divide it up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They do.
Isn't this an interesting topic?
I mean, it is a thing that happens.
I was, you know, claims adjusting was interesting.
Yeah.
It was just stressful. Because everyone who calls you is mad.
Right. That's why I always thought the best call center to work at would be like Disney.
Recording stopped.
Like if you worked at the reservation office at Disney, right? Like people are calling to plan their vacation. They're like, they're excited about coming to Disney, right? So they're super happy. Like they're not, you're not the billing department. You're not the complaint department. Like they're calling you to book their magical vacation and they're super fucking excited to do it. That just seems like that would be such fun to just, you know, you're there, yeah, like helping these people who are just super excited about coming. So.
Yeah, probably so. But no matter how bad claims adjusting was, I would rather do that than my current job. I would rather have people mad at me about a rental car. Like that would be
so
preferable.
How many internal positions have you applied for?
None. I'm actually going to, I'm 99% sure that I'm going to file FMLA.
Fuck my life away? What is FMLA?
Family Medical Leave Act.
Oh,
to okay. Take 3 months off.
Okay.
Because you can do that as long as you're diagnosed as having like anxiety or whatever.
Okay.
So I think that's what I'm going to start with, is that.
Okay. So your psychologist is willing to diagnose you?
Yes.
With that. Okay.
Yes. She said, absolutely, 100%.
I mean, yeah, I feel like most people that listen to your podcast would agree with that. So
I literally am having trouble getting myself out of bed. And then when I do get out of bed, I cry for about an hour.
No, yeah, then fucking leave.
And I mean, it's not a laughing matter. And I hate it. But I mean, because I'm like, stop crying, you stupid son of a bitch. Like, why are you, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm so mad at my brain.
Yeah, what's the worst they can do is just, they're not going to actually physically harm you. They're not going to stab you or something. It's like the worst they can do is just like say like, oh, I can't believe that you fucked this up. It's like, that's it. That's the worst they can do.
I know. Tell my brain.
I am. I'm telling your brain. All right, then do it. Then don't talk about it. Just do it.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Don't think. Do.
Well, Mark and I are going to actually sit down this weekend and fill out a claim.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Then do it.
I'll have to get documentation from my therapist, but I also have a psychiatrist, so I can get documentation from her as well.
So you've greased palms. Yeah. Do it. Yeah. You're ready to.
The only thing is I don't get paid.
Well, yeah.
During those 3 months.
Right. Unless you have short-term disability insurance.
I might be able, I do have short-term disability, but I don't know if that, if anxiety counts for short-term disability.
Don't know. And honestly, let's be perfectly honest. You are not in any universe going to be in any kind of financial hardship not getting paid for 3 months.
That's true.
So
that's
it's,
true.
It's not a case of like, if you,
I'm not living paycheck to paycheck.
Right, exactly. You will not starve, nor will you want for anything. You may not be able to go buy a new 102 inch television or something, you know, or something like, yeah, right. Maybe I'll hold off on that, but you're not gonna not go out to eat or not go to a, it would not alter your lifestyle at all.
I mean, maybe the trip to the Maldives.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like a big thing. Yeah, a big ticket item. Maybe you'd rethink it. But like, yeah, pushed. You're not. Yeah, nothing other than that. That's right. Not tip the Grubhub driver as much.
Cut the Grubhub out. Yeah.
No more of that.
You know, it's more of an embarrassment thing and like a fear of retaliation. Because when I go back, well, first of all, I have to tell them. Now, I can just tell them it's medical.
Yeah.
But then they're like all wondering, like, well, what is it? You know, is he dying of cancer? Like, yeah. So I feel like I need to at least tell my boss, like, look, it's anxiety. I'm burned out. It's anxiety. Well, you know, whatever. But technically, I can just say it's medical FMLA. You know, that's it. But, and then the company that handles the claim, they work with HR.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're always guaranteed a full 12 weeks, but that's the max that you can get.
Okay.
So, and that's what I would be asking for, because I don't feel like you can get over anxiety in a week, you know, or two. Okay. Probably not even 12, but then maybe during the 12, I can be relaxed enough that I can start applying for other things, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So,
the plan.
The last couple of episodes of The Amazing Race, like a couple of weeks ago, it may have been a couple of weeks ago at this point. Did you know that that was where they filmed Game of Thrones? Like Croatia, like that's why it looked like King's Landing, like all the little streets and everything.
I didn't.
It's like where that. They did the little cart race down the hill or whatever. Like that was like King's Landing. That's like all those ocean shots where they were standing on the waves with the rocks and everything. That's all King's Landing from Game of Thrones. So, yeah, I was just like, they didn't even mention that. I mean, I get it. It's not the same studio or network, but it's just like, I feel like a lot of people would know that. Yeah, they had several Game of Tours.
We've not been to Croatia, so.
You simply must go.
So I wouldn't.
Yeah, you simply must go and take the Game of Thrones tour.
We did on our Mediterranean cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We met a lovely British couple who had just come from Croatia.
Oh.
And they did tell us we should definitely go, but
perhaps on your 3-month on your 3-month FLMLA, you should
FLMA. FMLA.
That's what I just said. FLMLA.
Family Medical Leave Act.
FLMLA. On your FLMLA. Your 3-month FLMLA. I think maybe you should take a cruise to Croatia. Like, you know, hop on a 28-day cruise that goes to Croatia. Because think about it. Your food is covered. Your beverages are covered. All your amenities that you would need. Everything is taken care of. All your basics taken care of. There's a health club on board. There's plenty of places to relax and to read, whatever. So in a way, it's keeping you from overspending because it's set upon on this very rigid, like, oh, I've already paid for all this. Like
but a 28-day cruise is going to be quite a bit of money.
You don't know.
I mean, I guess I could do interior and I could do just the water only package.
Who cruises to Croatia?
No internet.
Cruise to
also Croatia. There are no 28-day Mediterranean cruises, I don't think.
Disney doesn't go there. Are you? What is your current favorite? Royal?
Royal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Croatia Cruises.
Yeah, they do. It's their Western. It's their Eastern Mediterranean.
Croatia Cruises.
Adriatic. They may call it the Adriatic.
Greece and Adriatic cruise for seven nights. Seven nights. Let's find you a...
We did Greece, but for whatever reason, Croatia was not included. We did Greece and Turkey and Italy.
So you could do a nine-night on the Explorer of the Seas from Barcelona to Ravenna, Italy, visiting Barcelona, Nice, Florence, Rome.
But that's not the Kotor, right side.
Dubrovnik, Croatia.
Oh, okay. Okay, now.
Zadar, Croatia, and Ravenna, Italy.
Oh, so it does both sides.
It does Italy, France, and Croatia.
It's and only, Spain.
It's only happening from one date, and that date is May 7th through the 16th. That'll be outside of your window.
Adam, my FMLA will be over.
That's right.
By then.
Ugh. If it weren't for that. If it weren't for that, it would have been perfect. Yeah, everything else is a seven-night. So seven-night Greece and Adriatic, Greek Isles, Greece, Croatia, Greece and Croatia, Italy and Croatia, Italy and Croatia, Italy and Croatia, Greece and Croatia, Italy and Croatia, Italy and Croatia, Greece and Croatia, Italy and Croatia. Yeah. You get the idea.
Transcript of that is going to be just. Yeah.
The real question is, do you want to see Greece? I'm trying to see what the real difference is because they both go to Croatia. So what is it? So it's just really whether you want to visit Rome or whether you want to visit Venice, essentially.
Oh, Venice.
So it's like
100%.
Okay, so then you would take the...
Venice was my favorite city in Italy.
So that's actually the Greece and Croatia cruise. You leave from Ravenna. You leave from Venice. And you go to Dubrovnik.
Venice was lovely.
Athens. Santorini?
Santorini.
Split. And then Ravenna.
I've been to Santorini. But
really? It's only $1,000 a person.
Yeah. I mean, before long, I'm going to be having to collect food stamps.
But that's long in the future. That's future Adam's problem. That's not current Adam. It's not current Adam. And future Adam's going to have current Adam sitting on an island, a little desert island all by himself, a little lonely island.
That's right.
That's true. Talk to him.
He's still there.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
He's
having
a good time.
In much the way that young Adam is to you, you will be young Adam to future Adam. So, you know, this is the inflection point where you make that bad decision. I mean, correct decision. When you make the correct decision.
The correct decision.
I will tell you this. The correct decision this evening was definitely Toledo. I have been, I guess, the last couple of times that I went to Toledo, it wasn't great. It was good, but it wasn't great. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you want a restaurant, you know, you're used to a restaurant being excellent. And then when they're just...
I believe there was a restaurant you took us to.
Oh, it was, yes.
That you said normally is great, and you thought it was not good that night.
I was so upset about that. Yeah, it was Citrico's. And we just had such amazing dinners at Citrico's. And then the week that I take you to it, they underperform. Fuckers. And I think Yachtsman Steakhouse did as well. No, actually, I think Yachtsman Steakhouse was the prize that weekend. That was the one, Yachtsman Steakhouse, which was the sleeper, because I don't think that I had gone there a lot. So anyway, The
Citrico's was the more fancy one.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about it, I think you're talking about the Yachtsman Club. You're talking about Citrico's.
Yes.
Which is, yeah, okay. Yeah. We enjoyed it. But yeah, like you I said, it was normally good. Better.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It was bad. It was just that this place is normally great. Anyway, so my nephew wanted to go to dinner with me tonight. And so we went over to Toledo and over at the Coronado Springs Resort. And it was really good. I'm very, very happy. And they had a new dessert on the menu, the Basque cheesecake. And it was very good. The Basque cheesecake, very good. I didn't know that cheesecake made with fish could be that good, but you know what? It's a Basque.
I feel like there's a joke cheesecake. In there somewhere.
It's a bass. It's made with bass. Isn't it?
Basque. There's a k.
Okay, Professor Cheesecake. What makes a Basque?
B-A-S-Q-U-E. It's from the Basque region.
Okay, and what makes it different from a regular cheesecake?
It's burnt. It's burnt. It's crustless.
Yes.
It's crustless.
Yes.
And it's burnt. I mean, it's very dark. Very, very dark.
Mm-hmm. That's it? Anything else that separates them?
I don't think, I mean, that those are the two things that stand out.
Let's ask.
In my mind.
Let's ask.
I mean, I'm not a chef, but
yeah,
I watch a lot of what do you network?
No. So sorry. We were talking, but now we want to address you, co-pilot. Thank you for listening. What we were curious is what were we curious about?
What differentiates a Basque cheesecake from a regular, like a New York cheesecake?
Correct.
The main difference is in the texture and baking method. Basque cheesecake is known for its burnt, caramelized top and a creamy, custard-like interior achieved by baking at a high temperature. It doesn't have a crust like New York cheesecake, which is dense and creamy throughout.
You can talk. With I have crumbly it muted, graham so he cracker can't crust. Hear us. So.
Oh. Okay. That's what I said. No crust.
Yeah.
Burnt. I didn't mention the creamy center, but there you go. Creamy center.
So just to confirm, it is not made out of the bass fish.
That's not.
Basque cheesecake stands out with its burnt, caramelized top and creamy center, baked without a crust. New York cheesecake is dense and creamy.
Yeah, I didn't ask about that. Usually with a graham cracker crust. All right. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Goodbye. I didn't ask you that. Why do you need to go?
He answered you again. AI can be so amazing and so wrong.
I'm reading
time.
Through the transcript. So I said creamy. So just to confirm, it's not made out of the bass fish. And he said, that's right. Basque cheesecake isn't made. And then it heard it's not. And then it was replying to the, it's not by going, yes, it is. Basque cheesecake stands out. Anyway, it was confused. I get it. I hadn't muted it fast enough. There needs to be a
I've been reading
a
this book on AI.
Yeah.
It is so depressing.
Well, then why are you, what is it called? What is it called?
It is totally, this reporter is totally against AI. She must be.
Yes. Okay.
Because it is all about now I'm not saying any of this stuff is good. I mean, and it is good to report things that are going on incorrectly.
Why are you defending her? Just what? So what is it?
The cost of the data centers, the fact that they use, the fact that they use over, they use overseas people in Africa to do the content moderation.
One moment, please.
And they pay them pennies.
Right. I want to, I missed taking I have to get my pills.
I mean, I still want to use it, but the book is depressing. Every time you do a query, you're basically charging a cell phone or something like that. That's how much power you're using. But and how these companies are lying about their data centers being green. that they're not really.
Yeah, I love how when they when they publish actual usage measures, they're like, "Oh no, you're paying people off to measure that. That can't possibly be." And they're like, "Yeah, actually, no, these are the real numbers."
And they're going down to Chile and using their potable water when Chile is like having a drought, and they're putting data centers with water cooling, and it's pretty depressing. The book.
Yeah,
I'm still going to use AI.
I don't
like. Don't get me wrong.
It's insane.
But
these people that are against it. There's some people on Blue Sky that are just so anti AI that they're just like it dominates their thoughts. Right? They just go around looking for ways. It's like, I want to be able to block any AI talk whatsoever. It's like, when I do a Google search, I don't want that AI overview thing. It's like, that is offensive to me. It's like, okay. You know, you can just turn it off. Like, you don't have to. Yeah. And Kathy Marshall makes a good point, is that it's not AI, because we've had AI for decades. It's what they're
large language models.
Yeah. What they are very
training of the.
Right. What they are very, you know, against is the current generative AI world of large language models. So, which is, you know, I feel like it has.
When you ask me, did I fall?
Yeah.
When?
So you got to understand that I was sitting here. So all I know is what I can see. And
why would you text me? Did you fall?
Because let me explain. Let me explain my thought process. So this was before the show, for those of you on level 13 who are trying to figure out what the fuck we're talking about. So before the show, I texted Adam, did you fall? Are you okay? Anyway, this is what happened. Before the show, you had a computer that was frozen and you needed to reboot it. And the only way for you to reboot it was to flip the switch, kind of a thing.
And it's behind the monitor.
Yeah, it's behind the monitor and behind it. So he had to crawl up like close to the camera. So like he was basically, his nose was right in the camera. Had an extreme close-up of his nose. And then I had an extreme close-up of his ear, and then the picture froze.
Oh.
And there was no sound from him. And so, and I kept asking, and are you there? And then I'm thinking, oh, I know that his desk is really like this rickety-ass fucking table that's like kind of like been moved from a couple of places, and it's kind of, and like, oh my God, what if the table fell? What if his like
you know what,
table
Daniel?
Fell.
It's no longer rickety.
And he's laying on the ground, and because the computer that was streaming got knocked off or whatever, it's like, so I guess I could text him to see if he's okay. So that's, I was concerned.
You think I'm going to have my, like if I fell and I'm bleeding out on the floor,
yep.
You think I'm going to have my phone right there? Like, oh.
Where is your phone right now?
Well, it's here.
Right there.
but if I was climbing over the desk to turn the computer off, my phone wouldn't be there. And also, it's not rickety anymore because I bought standing desk legs.
Okay. All right.
So it's now on a standing, desk.
I haven't seen that. So I,
because you never come see me anymore.
Well, what are you talking about? I came in. I spent way too long. I overstayed my welcome the last time I was there. It was like
three years ago.
Mark was like, "Is he going to leave? Is he going to leave?" That hasn't been three. It was 2 years ago.
No, but when you left, he did say,
"Thank God."
The guest bedroom smells like
pot. Yeah,
pot.
Whatever, Mark. Don't judge me. That was it. Game of Thrones. So I can move that topic all the way over there.
Oh, you know what I was going to, I did put a topic for.
Yeah. Groceries.
For level 13.
Okay. Groceries.
I love grocery delivery. However, there's some...
Adam's mom knows about the grocery. Adam's mom knows about the grocery. I'm Adam's mom. I don't know if you guys have started using grocery delivery or not. I don't use it, but I'm familiar with the...
If you're a Walmart Plus subscriber.
In fact, I believe Zach joined Walmart Plus just to get that when he ordered bagels the other day so that they delivered. So anyway,
and it also has a cheaper Paramount Plus subscription and some other shit. But anyway, so we use it because I hate going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like people. COVID... I enjoyed staying home. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm fine. Other than I do like to travel, but I don't like people much. What was my point? So I don't like to go to the grocery store.
We've been doing it because I love it. It's so convenient.
It's convenient.
Now, when you say you don't like people, what about
I like cashiers, random people.
Or waiters or like people that you need to serve you dinner or to
if I'm given a choice, I'm going to go to the self checkout.
Yeah.
And if any restaurant that lets you order on a tablet and then the food just comes out to you and you don't really have to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Like,
I love those sushi conveyor belt restaurants, but the closest one to us is like a half hour away.
I didn't know you like sushi.
I love sushi.
Oh.
In Connecticut, we had like sushi every Tuesday and Thursday for lunch.
I haven't. I've had sushi once, but I'm not quite to the, I'm a sushi eater. Like, I'm still in the cooked fish.
No.
Other than crudo.
I like sushi. I have done raw scallops. Yeah.
Because they'll slice them really thin and put them on a plate with some dressing. And the only thing that really tastes is the dressing.
I like sashimi. I like sushi. I like it all. Ceviche.
You're just such a beef person. Normally.
I like all protein. I mean,
when you walk in the room, I hear.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it was a commercial. They would say beef.
Oh,
it's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner.
But anyway, but there are some things that I don't like.
No.
Because
you're the least picky person in the world, Adam.
Okay.
Well, except for the fact that you can't have a sandwich without some crunchy component.
When you go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Me or just you?
You, the general you.
Okay.
Right?
The royal you.
You're going to, you go over and you're like, hey, I'd like petite filet mignon.
Okay.
Okay. And you look at them and you look through the packages and you get the ones because it's got two in a pack. And you look for the ones that are about the size that you and your partner want to consume.
Yeah.
And you get those.
Yes.
But when you order delivery, they just grab whatever's on the top and you get one that has six tiny little beef. It's like stew meat because, you know. And, you know, because you couldn't pick it yourself. Or I got the biggest sweet potato, like the size of my head. And, you know, like when you're getting sweet potatoes, you're going to get ones that are roughly the size that one person is going to eat if you're baking them.
Which is not your head. Yes.
But they just get. Right. And then, you know, they don't pick the freshest produce. They just they grab whatever they grab.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're not getting the care.
You're not.
That you get when you go yourself.
Right.
And then there's the substitutions.
Oh, the fucking substitutions.
Where if they don't have the thing that you ordered.
They'll pick a completely random other item and replace it with it. Oh, no, it's fine. Like if you're out of zero carb keto bread, here, here's a baguette. It's like like a full carb baguette. Like, yeah.
So you and so I did that by mistake. I ordered this specific coffee creamer that Mark likes.
Yes. But they were out.
And they substituted it and I didn't catch it in time. So then I returned it. And they will let you, they will come and pick up a return. That is so weird. They are losing so much money doing that. But they will come pick up a return. But I'm like, no, 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 I'll bring it to the store. It's fine. I needed to pick up my prescription. So I had to go.
Okay.
So I go in there and I return it. And the guy says, you know, we just throw these away anyway. And I'm like, first of all, that's wasteful. But second of all, I had to bring it back.
Yes.
The app told me to bring it, but like, it's not like I chose. If, you know, I understand that you're saying, well, I'm just going to throw this away, dude. Yeah. But like, I couldn't keep it at home because they would charge me for it.
Right.
Like, I have to return it. So why are you even telling me that you throw
and
it away?
And the only reason that you have to bring it back then for that is because if they said, oh, okay, we're so sorry. Yeah, you can keep that and we'll send you something else. Then people are going to immediately go like, oh, yeah, here's a clever hack. If you want to get, you know, like three prime ribs from Walmart, you know, just say that, oh, I ordered the wrong thing. Oh, well, you can keep that. Here, let me send you another. And it's like, people will game the system. But yeah, legally, the food has...
They probably can't resell it.
Right. Legally, the food has left their chain of authority. Like they can no longer testify to the purity of that food item. Someone could have tampered with it when they don't know.
True.
So when you return it and then they put it back on the shelf, they can't do that because they can't authenticate the safety.
I think in that case, they should just be like, what
a lot of them do is they have contracts with local food banks and they give that return perishable to food banks because
Throws it away. At least that's what.
No, it probably gets donated. It probably goes into a dumpster, but it's getting donated. Like it's like because they pick these things up dumpsters at a time. I mean, this is like huge things.
So anyway,
The same thing happens, by the way, if they lose refrigeration for a period of time.
Yeah.
They can no longer sell. So like when in a hurricane where a store loses power, right? They can no longer sell the things in the cooler. Like they have to throw them away because they can no longer guarantee. Yeah, it's kind of a...
You know what I'd like to talk about right now?
What would you like to talk about right now? Are you saying
dildos?
You were so uninterested in this conversation that we're having. So that's been up there.
Well, I thought we were done. You don't use grocery delivery.
That has been up there for a while.
I know. I feel like it needs to... Are we just keeping it there forever?
No, I mean, it is an evergreen topic because we could talk about it. It is no time compartment. So it's just one of those I've realized over in recent years, probably starting about like 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of exactly when I noticed this. I think I was back in the house in Valrico, so it would have been like 4 years ago. Anyway, I noticed that I could not, like, the dildos that I would use just burned. I'm saying, it just hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I could feel like it was tingling and burning my skin.
Yeah, they all do.
No, they don't. And
I mean, anything you stick up there hurts. But anyway, that's not go true. Ahead.
And so then I realized that, it must be the silicone, right? It must be the material or whatever that I must be allergic to that and everything. And through a lot of experimentation or whatever, it turns out it's latex. I'm like, latex hurts. Like, latex is, you know, I have an allergic reaction to latex. When introduced.
Condoms are latex.
Yes. And so the hint, I mean, I don't use condoms, but but I didn't used to have this allergy or whatever. And so I'm just like, can you just get those later in life? So it's like, that was the thing is, like, I had to switch to all glass. So I have glass dildos. And
see, that feels dangerous to me. One slip and that thing snaps and like cuts you a new asshole. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean,
it's not a small thing. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a little glass stirring stick or something. No, it's that's what I'm saying. It's thick glass.
Oh God.
It's thick glass.
Wow. And it's got blue stripes.
Yeah, unfortunately, the people that make glass dildos all feel like they have to like put these little decorations on them and shit like that.
It's got filigree.
It is very hard to find a glass dildo that doesn't have that shit.
It reminds me of glasses we used to sell at Pier 1 that had a blue stripe around them. Yep.
Yeah. No, it's in no danger of breaking. Okay. That's not a thing. And also, it's not that kind of glass that easily breaks. Yeah. I just found a way. And it was like, I was at a campground. And after I was playing around with somebody and it started to burn and I realized that they had put on a condom and I was just like, oh, that like hurts. So.
Hmm.
Bad.
So condom. That was it. So you have a allergy to
a latex. Certain. Apparently.
Well, you could do the, really,
like I can the hold silicone, it.
The, so the, aren't a lot of the dildos made out of silicone and that's not latex. Like right. That real skin stuff, that's not latex, is it?
It appears to. I mean, I've had reaction. I haven't found one that doesn't give me a reaction.
So maybe it's not just latex. Maybe it's also.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe it's any plastic.
Could be. Because, and it wasn't, I didn't used to have that. I used to have like cheap ass dildos that were plastic or rubber or whatever, and they were fine. It's just like. It would just seem to be a recent thing.
I just realized I don't think I've ever owned a dildo.
Wow. You know, you can order them online. You don't have to go anywhere. And
I don't need one. So
what do you think your Amazon driver thinks about you? Like they just look and say, you're in another thing you ordered. Do you think he like makes up little stories in his head?
I don't order anything worth judgment. I just order electronics.
Where'd you get that? Where'd you groceries. Get the inflatable hot tub?
Amazon, probably.
Yeah. All right. So your driver knows that you have an inflatable hot tub. It's like, do you think he like makes up stories in his head? It's like
what I'm doing.
What is he doing with an inflatable hot tub?
I don't know.
Making meth?
I don't know. I'm doing nothing because it's too hard to keep clean.
It's
sitting there with who knows what's growing. I haven't taken the top off of it in 6 months. I don't know what's growing under there. I have no idea. And the thing is, I got in it. I cleaned it. I scrubbed it really good. I drained it completely. I refilled it. I was like, I'm going to get it back into shape before fall.
Yep.
I did all of that. Or before spring, maybe. I don't remember. It was at some point recently.
Yeah.
And within the past year is recent. Mm-hmm. And then I never got it. Yeah. There was an error message that came up when I turned it on. And I got too lazy to look up the error message and figure out what the problem was. And so here we are 6 months later. It's I was like, I could have just Googled, what is this error message? And it probably would have said, oh, yeah, you just need to reset the flux capacitor, you know, or whatever.
I use, I mean, I use AI for everything, but I was at the restaurant tonight and it, of course, had their wine list. And it's a tapas. It's a Spanish tapas restaurant. So all the wines are Spanish wines. And I wanted, you know, a Pinot Noir, and they don't. So I just took a picture of the wine list and then asked Gemini. It's just like,
what would be similar?
Yeah. It's just like, okay, you... Well, I'll find you one that is red fruit focused, medium bodied, and fresh and elegant. And then he goes down the list and he's like, yeah, here's like three choices. It's like this one here is closest in style, style of a modern Roja, something from Good Brews is often focused on bright red fruit, freshness and elegance and everything. So it like gave me three different suggestions from the wine list of like going and why I might want those. So it was like, that was pretty good from just like a picture. Like I didn't have to like do a lot there.
Yeah.
And then they even made another one. It was like, and here's a New World alternative, you know.
Still just make shit up.
They do, but so, the fact that the three wines that it suggested were on the page that I gave it a picture
fine, but yeah. Like I was just, I think while you were away, I was telling, I've been working on the automation for the questions to try to make them better.
Yeah.
And I think the ones tonight were better than the usual, but anyway, I mean, more relevant, more, you know, whatever things that you might know about, et cetera. But I made one change and it spit out like 25 good questions and I wanted it to only do five. And I went in and I made some other change and it spit out questions. It spit out five questions that were great.
Yeah.
They were all fake. The links to the stories were fake. Everything was fake. And the thing is, the URLs, the stories, mm-hmm. come from a search API.
Right.
They do not come from AI.
Right.
So somewhere along the AI chain, it took the real stories and URLs and somehow converted it to something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what I did to make that happen.
And once it reached sentient, it'll go and make a website at that URL just so that it'll write its own stories that confirm what it's saying.
You'll never know.
It's going to like, here's an article. It was written by me 10 minutes ago, but here's an article that confirms exactly what I'm saying. I don't know. I feel it. Jesus. I don't base any, like, I don't ask it real world problems. Like, I wouldn't, like, have it solve financial problems or anything like that. Mainly, I talk to AI about coding stuff, software design stuff, Disney stuff, a lot of, hey, what do you think about this? Or in D&D, can I do that? And just like, I'm not asking it anything that has any weight to it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's literally just like, if I weren't asking it these questions, I'd be off Googling it myself. So... And they're just like throwaway things, right? It's just like the world is not going to change one way or the other, whether I, ask it about Bill Clinton. How many terms did Bill Clinton serve as a governor? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to turn off the chime on my, I am paying attention, but I'm trying to turn off the chime on the doorbell.
Yeah.
Cause I think I turned it back on recently.
Oh, and you've got food delivery coming. What did you order?
Well, I mentioned Whataburger, so it made me want.
Ah, it made you want to get the Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Yeah,
so
you mentioned it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it then.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be here for another 30 minutes, but.
Oh, well, I'm expected to sit here and keep you company for 30 minutes.
You're not.
I'm going to go. It's 1 a.m. here, and I'm tie-tie because I took my pills. I took my go-into-bed pills, and now I'm tired.
Oh, poor Big Fatty.
Poor Big Fatty.
Took his go-to-bed pills.
Let me tell you, he took his go-to-bed pills, and like 10 minutes in, he was like, I was genuinely concerned that he wouldn't make it to the bed. It was just like,
I feel like he answered it. It is a sleeping pill.
Yeah.
Right?
It's something. I don't know.
It's all something taking, to make him sleepy.
All I'm taking is high blood pressure pill, cholesterol pill, and
what's trazodone?
What's the other thing that I'm taking?
Is it a sleeping pill?
This thing I'm taking. Oh, PrEP. So I take PrEP and blood pressure and.
Well, all I do is I take a clonazepam. I think it's also called Clonopin. Mm-hmm. And a buspirone and something else that I. Can't remember the name of, but it's
right.
Dextrofen or something. It's some antidepressant. Mm. Then in the morning, I take another Clonopin, another buspirone, and my lip pill, which I can't remember. Valcyclovir, maybe?
Sounds right.
We are really old. We're talking about the pills we take.
I know we are. And we're trying to say goodnight. Good night, everyone. Good luck. Have a good week off.
We'll
be back on Black Friday. So I'm going to say good night to level 13.
Good night all. And to all a good night.